Well, hello again and welcome to a new series of Wild Thing, which, as the name suggests, is where we get out in the wild, the wonderful wilds of the Isle of Man, to explore some of the wonderful native flora and fauna we have, and are very lucky to have, on the island. And if you're with us for the last series, you know we were out with the Manx fungi group, going on a foray there, which was wonderful. We joined Steve from the Wildlife Trust in his allotment to see how you can not only grow veg and do things healthy there, but also do it in conjunction with nature and encourage birds and bees and wildlife whilst at the same time growing your veggies. And had a wonderful time again looking at dubs and rivers and such like right at the beginning, I think. And there was one more, you know what? I can't remember what that is now. But there were some terrific times we were out and about looking there. And so we're continuing in that theme with a whole new series of things to look at. And as you might hear in the background, a bit of water going on in the background there. And you know what water and I like means I'm usually trying not to fall in. But we've come down to do a little bit of work down by the rivers and thinking about particularly invertebrates. So we're thinking smaller in, I think, this series, so we might well have a look at flies as well, but invertebrates, which you can get all sorts of course, both in rivers and on land as well. And come round to meet up with someone who's no stranger to either Man in the Wild or Wild Thing, and that's Dawn, and very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, wonderful day.
You've set this up specially, haven't you?
I have indeed, yes. We're still going to get wet though.
This is true, and people might recognise you. You were with the Wildlife Trust Education Officer for years, and now you're happily doing the same thing, but retired, I think. Is that right?
Well, yes, yeah. My husband complains about it. I don't get paid now.
But you're still to be found out and about, and particularly with, I know you've always liked your invertebrates, and I know we've done slugs before now, and we had a great time looking at that, and I must admit, it was an eye-opener just seeing that. You just think slugs are slug. That was a terrific one. But today you take me down somewhere different, down by a river just out down by Glen Willan. So what are we looking at here? A bit of dipping?
Yeah, we're going to do a bit of kick sampling. So I'm going to get you active in the water and kicking some rocks around and seeing what invertebrates are actually in the stream and what they're clinging on to. They're very reluctant to leave the rocks that they're clinging on to. So it's going to take a bit of work, but I'm sure we'll get there.
So it's pretty much what it sounds like, is it? It's a case of get your wellies on, and happily you did say bring your wellies, so I have. I'm hoping they're waterproof, because we're going to get literally into the river, and then what? Just you're literally kicking the rocks over a bit and then trying to catch what might come out.
Yes, so we're scuffing at the rocks, just disturbing them, and then we've got a net, a very, very fine mesh on it, and we're just placing that in the water, and any debris that goes downstream we'll be catching and then putting into a tray so we can inspect and see what we've caught.
Sounds good to me. You've obviously done this before. I know you're a bit of a dab hand at this. Do you get all sorts, or do you get different things depending on where you are on the island?
It can vary from stream to stream. And also it depends on, at the moment, we've got here quite a fast flow rate.
It is, isn't it?
So you can get what we call lentic and notic species. So the ones that the lentic is the slower pull, so you'll get different species than that. And then the lotic is the one which's got a lot of fast-moving current, so it's got a lot of oxygen in, it's got a lot of things that are very good and muscular looking because they're clinging onto those rocks, they don't want to get washed away.
But it's not going to do any damage doing this, we do it carefully, all the wildlife can go back again.
Yes, exactly, so we're going to do it very, very carefully, whatever we catch will go straight back in, we're not kicking up a big area at all, we're going to keep it contained in an area. I always choose areas where I know there's a footfall anyway that people let their dogs go in the stream there, so we're not going to disturb any rare species or anything.
And the great thing with this is, again, you sort of, I think everyone loves to walk down by a river and see a flowing stream or river, and you can hear it as Dawn and I are talking in the background there, but it's just sort of seeing what's in there, because if you just look at it, it always looks pretty and sounds lovely, but you never actually really see the life there.
No, you certainly don't. You've got to really get your hands in and have a good look, and though they're what we call macro invertebrates in that we can see them with our eyes, there's still tiny details on them. And you can actually see some of these invertebrates breathing, which is just fabulous.
Brilliant. Okay. Right. I'm standing by the side. You've already got one foot in the river.
Yeah, can't wait. But we're going to go upstream a bit, yeah. And I'm going to get you to just kick at the rocks a bit and we'll see what we catch.
Brilliant. Marvelous. Let's go. Right. I know she's just waiting for me to fall in. Right, here we go. If I drop the mic, we'll be in trouble, won't we?
Mayfly nymph.
Oh, there's a couple there already, wow.
And I don't want to be sort of like carrying them and slopping them around a bit. But if I, you know, me and my phone, I'm trying to get pictures because it's got very good close-up lens. If we look really closely at this, you should be able to find, you'll see the gills working on it. There you go. Can you see the gills working?
Yeah. Look at that, that's amazing.
So what it's doing is activating the water over it so that it can get the oxygen out of the water. So that's a lovely mayfly. You see what I mean about them looking really muscular?
Yeah, yeah.
Because this one is in very fast flowing water, okay, and we've got the three tail hairs. He's off for a little walk. Okay, so as an adult fly, it will have these hairs as well, these cerci on the back of it. So this is what we call a flattened mayfly nymph. So these flies spend most of their life in the water, which is just absolutely amazing. And they will just, when they're ready for the final stage, the final imago, they'll crawl out of the water and find a leaf or whatever, pop out of that exoskeleton. And the amazing thing is, of course, once they're in the air, they don't need the gills. So the gills pop off as well. So as an adult fly, they have whole spiracles down the side of their bodies, and that's how they breathe. So that's how they make the adaptation from living underwater to becoming a fly and living out in the air. It's
wow.
Just incredible.
That is incredible. And just if I can describe, like I said, so these things are, I'm guessing, the actual body is maybe no more than half an inch in length, and then it appears to have what looks to me like six legs. Yep, six legs,
yes,
I think.
Six legs.
A head, and then again, with the close-up on the phone that Dawn was talking about there, you could actually see these gills working on the side. Quite incredible. That's technology for you, and I assume... is that a special thing you've got on your phone, or is that something everyone has?
No, it's just a very good... I buy my phones because I want
They've
macro.
Got the
Not for the phone calls.
Not for the ringing.
Just for the... Yeah, yes.
Love it. Suffice to say, you really, really do get to see it on the phone image very clearly indeed, and you can see the gills moving. As we're talking, it's just going around the little shallow tray we've got them here at the moment. But the detail is incredible, isn't it?
If it settles down, you can see just right on the back here, you'll see what we call wing buds. So the wings are already developing in the nymph stage, and we can tell how old it is from the length of the wing buds. I don't know if you can just make them out. Just here and here.
Yep. Beautiful.
So, this one's getting quite close to actually becoming a full-grown adult.
And so when would they expect to sort of actually turn into the mayflies? Well, I assume around May or late May or later than that?
April to September time, they'll be coming out. They come out in sort of like batches. And often I've walked down this particular stretch and it is just full of flies and it's just a fabulous sight. It's almost like watching birds lekking. In that they're fluttering up and they're fluttering down. I mean, the adult form literally will last just for a day in some species, and they don't even have mouth parts, some of them, because the whole thing is just to mate and spread the species a bit further. And that's the whole purpose of them, yeah.
Wow. And they were, yeah, I mean, you found those within seconds, really, just of coming into the river. Incredible, paddling around there.
Right, shall we let
Brilliant,
them
right, let's let them go back in again. So we'll carefully put them back into the river.
Sometimes they're a bit
hard. There he goes. And I guess they just vanish the second they've gone back in again. You're never going to see them with the naked eye in the flowing river. So you do have to do this sort of kick sampling as we're doing today. And obviously always better if you can do it with an expert. And not fall in, clearly.
Central channel is flowing really quite clearly.
Yeah, it is.
Quickly, sorry. So towards the edge is where you tend to pick up more of the invertebrates. So what we're going to do, we've got the tray, we'll just put some water in, and I'll get you to stand with the net downstream of you.
Okay.
I'm just going to stand and just scuff around for about 30 seconds upstream of it.
Right.
Without falling over.
That's the hard part, isn't it?
Yes, definitely, yes.
That is the hard part. Right, so I want to take the net from here or leave it here. Are you going to go upstream or am I going upstream with this?
You go upstream and if you do the kicking, yeah.
Right, okay.
You've got to work for it, yeah.
Okay.
So if you can move so the debris is going to flow straight into the net.
Okay, so we just sort of kick around from here. So literally doing that, as you can probably get the gist.
Can you see the plumes of sediment you've got?
Sediment coming up. As you're kicking just with the toe of your boot and trying obviously not to fall in. That's the that's the major technique. I know Dawn wants me to, really, but
I'm just going to take a picture if you do.
Yes, you would. Okay, I'll just give that a bit of a welly with scuffing the bed. And just holding the net with the other hand just in the flow of the river. Just go around here a bit.
Just pop the net up and have a little look and see if you've got any little things crawling around in there.
Oh, well, there's a bit something going on.
You've got quite lift it up. There's quite a bit of debris. We're just looking for anything that's moving around. There's something there?
There's something, yeah, there is something right down there. Yeah, just down smaller.
There as well. Just on my fingertip.
And the little one there, yep.
So we just, what we'll do, we'll take the net over to the tray and just swell it out and see exactly what you've caught.
What we got? Brilliant. Go to the other side. Here we go, just by the side.
They quite reluctant to leave the net sometimes, so you just have to inspect your net so you can see anything moving around in it.
Now there's a little thing zipping round. Now he's not a caddisfly, is he, or is he?
Ah, oh, right, okay. Yes, you have got a few things in there. So what I'm going to do is just use the old phone trick again.
Ha ha, I'm liking this phone, it's great.
It just makes life a little bit easier.
Well, it's just so clear as well, it really is. The detail, it gets incredible, isn't it?
So what you've got here, can you see it's got six clear legs? It's giving it what for here? Can you
yes.
see? And if you look at the very back, you'll see two sets of gills sticking out. So you've got an uncased caddisfly just there. Can you see the head? The rest of it is soft-bodied, so and segmented.
Yep.
But the head is just like hardened. So this is a caddisfly. You can see the gills just there. Feathery gills. Yeah.
Wow. They're sort of they are like sort of little feathers sticking out the back there. Incredible.
So that's another of the flies that we'll have, a caddisfly. So we'll just have a look. Is there anything that's... I was hoping that might have been a case caddisfly, but I don't think it is. Right. They're all swimming around like... Oh, I have seen... Oh, just down here.
Right, the tiny
very
one there.
Tiny one. Ah, brilliant. Okay. So can you see this one's just got two hairs?
Yeah, just to the back, yep.
Yeah, so this one is actually a stonefly. So immediately you've got three different sort of species straight off, which is just amazing. You've got another stonefly I can pick up
right over there
as well. And, oh, you've got another smaller, that's the same flattened mayfly we were seeing before, but it's a lot smaller. And this little dude here, he's swimming extra fast.
He's really whizzing around the tray, I guess.
See if I can pick him up.
You can get the camera on him. You'll do well.
So this is actually a freshwater shrimp.
Wow.
So if it stops, can you see that it curls itself around?
Yep.
When it actually stops.
But there you are, he's stopped now a little bit
now. He's just doing now.
Yeah, so he's done it now.
There you go. So you can see the antennae. So shrimps always have the two pairs of antennae. And you've got swimmerettes underneath. You can see them just, can you see them just flapping away?
Yeah, yep.
So that's how it's obviously swimming. They're sort of like flattened appendages, really, to get
incredibly
them really
fast, actually, going around the tray, aren't they? You better keep up with them. Wow.
So, everyone's always, whenever you do this sort of thing, everyone's always surprised at the amount of life that actually is.
This is it. And this is exactly the sort of thing, because, like you said, everyone looks at a river, loves walking by a river. You just do not see, unless you do this sort of exercise, the life that's there in the water.
Right, so can you see this tiny little thing wiggling away
there?
Yeah,
minuscule. Can't
really,
be more than a
really
couple of millimetres long.
So actually what you've got there is a midge larvae. So a lot of these flies, this is just part of their life cycle. It's not the adult form at all. I've lost him now. There he is. Oh, is that him? Wriggling away. Oh no, that's one of the little nymphs.
There he is, yeah, it's just down
one. Just one of the little nymphs. It's very hot. If you lose contact sight with them, you're just like, yeah, there he goes. You've lost it. Right. I think we'll just have a little look. Oh, you can see lots of things bobbing around. So just there on the top, can you see something just very round?
Yeah.
Going around. So this is one of the mites, water spiders, that live in the water. And they tend to go, they're very circular looking, and they tend to go round and round in circles. Can you see that one there?
Yeah, tiny
that's
one on the top.
Yeah, so that's another fly larvae you've got just there. Just drifting along. There he goes.
Oh, there he goes. That's a good picture on the camera now.
But that's quite a good haul.
That's not bad, is it, for just a few minutes scuffing?
The nice thing about this is it's already telling us a lot about the quality of the water. So because we've got freshwater shrimps, because we've got the caddisfly, we know this is good quality water in this stream. And these tell us a lot about if we have a pollution incident.
Yeah.
So 2020, I was with a school group in Summerhill Glen, and we were doing this, and I suddenly became aware that everything was dead in the tray. It was absolutely horrific. And I got the children out of the water as quickly as I could, because just simply by looking at the stream, you couldn't tell it was polluted. There was no bubbles, there was no smell, you couldn't see an oily film. And actually, there were about 450 fish that they found dead in that stretch. And it took them 3 to 4 years to be able to restock that stream, because obviously you need to get all that food chain up and running again. And the sad thing about that is not a lot of people know the drains in the roads feed into our streams. So whatever you put down your drain, so if you're washing your car, that soapy water is going to go down that drain. So just think very, very carefully about what you're doing near those drains, because obviously it has a vast impact. And that took, like I said, a couple of years. But the other sad thing about that is we found a fish that had been partially eaten by a hedgehog. So it was going all the way
into the food chain. Oh, wow.
And the trouble is, you can't see that pollution. We never knew what it was that caused that, because once it's in the water, obviously it's going to move downstream, the pollutant, and you don't know. And you don't know where it's come from either. It's a very, very hard thing to police. So it's better everyone just takes that extra bit of precaution around our freshwater.
Yeah, and you're right, people don't think about that, do they? That how easily you can actually damage the sort of the environment by something, as you say, it's putting something down the drain. It's very easy, isn't it? Sort of out of sight, out of mind. But, you know, just because you've got rid of your waste doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to cause a problem further down the line.
Yes, and we think on the island we don't have, like, pollution problems, but we do. And, you know, our streams are not like a cross where they go into big rivers. They're also ephemeral in that they come and go in the summer. So we've got to be very careful with them. And overall, in over the world, there's about 1% of all the water, all the land mass, is actually fresh water. And it's such an important commodity. 10% of animal species actually rely on fresh water systems. So they're so important, and they're so mercurial, and things around them can affect them. You know, if they farm, then you get all the fertilizers running into it. So we've got to be so, so careful. It's a very important commodity.
And a great way, as you say, of, I suppose, monitoring, you say, how clear the water is, and that here, happily, everything looks in balance and healthy. So this is, as you were mentioning a little earlier, a good sign of clear water running down here.
It certainly is, yes, yeah. And I do know that they have trout in this particular stream as well, and they will be obviously laying eggs further upstream here, so.
Marvellous. Should we have another scuff then? One more scuff and see?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Yeah, why not? I was rather pleased with that for a sort of a first attempt at scuffing. It's amazing. It's amazing how much is there, you know. And again, it's so easy, isn't it, it's great coming out with you, because you know what it is. Did it take you a long time to sort of get your eye and to be able to recognise the various species you see when you do this sort of kick sampling?
It did start off with. It's like when you go birding, it takes you a bit to get used to the birds and the bird sounds and things. So I did a couple of courses as well, but if you really love something, it's not hard work to study about it, is it, at all?
Marvellous. Right, let's have another go then, and see if we can find anything else. You never know, but that was a
Right, we will release the beast.
These will go back into the water again, and we'll have another, perhaps slightly different section. Okay. And see, you do have to be careful underfoot, because the rocks, obviously, in the riverbed can be quite slippy, so it's always fraught with a little bit of peril. We'll have another go. So Dawn's just emptying that out, so they're safely back into the river again. And we'll, let's have another little go and see. We can...
A very reluctant one.
One stuck there.
Right.
Okay.
You again.
Grab this. Right, I'm liking this. Okay. So if we go, we'll go this side a little bit maybe and stay on this side of the river. Separate to where we were last time. And we'll try here. And see if we get on around this side. So we'll just go up the flow a little bit. And... as he's kicking there, you can probably hear just sort of scuffing off, and you can see the water getting a little bit cloudy as your boot just disturbs the silt at the bottom. And try and get your net in that flow seems to be the technique. I don't know if I've gotten very good at it yet, but you know, practice makes perfect, as Dawn says. Very satisfying. Well, that's yielded a fair amount of debris. Well, I've been that. Dawn's been exploring the underside of a stone. So, there's an amount of debris there. Let's see if there's any life in it. Again, you look at it, it just looks like you've got a sort of just some muck and soil from the bottom initially when you tip the net out into the little sample tray. But instantly you can see things buzzing around again.
Helps having long nails as well.
There you go. There's a tip if you're out doing this. Keep your nails long.
And don't bite them either.
Oh, gosh. No, I wish I could.
Not when you've done that.
Break that. So a quick poke around. And you can see some of them. Now, are these the stonefly we had before, or is this...?
So you've got a mix of stonefly, a lot of mayflies in there. You've got another freshwater shrimp there, which is good news. Just seeing if there's anything... a little bit different, but I did find on the back of this stone here, I'll just show you, because it's well worth turning over stones to the river. Can you see this funny little clump here?
Oh yeah.
So just touch it very gently with your finger. Can you feel it's actually stuck onto that rock?
Yeah.
So that's actually a cased caddisfly. Larvae would be living in that. I think it's left it because you can see the actual hole and you can't see anything in it.
Yeah.
So absolutely amazing. How they do this is they spin like a silken web and attach themselves to the rock, and then they'll stick debris on it. Oh, I've got something just there, my hand. Just let me go in there. There you go.
Free long hand. There you go.
And then they stick like stones or bits of leaf, and the different types of caddisfly have different sorts of homes, so you can tell the species from it. And it also is just a fabulous design because they hook up with little pro legs, which are like little stumpy legs, into the actual casing, and that flow of water is funneled through, and it funnels through their food for them as well. So not only is it camouflage, it's protection, and it's also helping them catch their food.
Brilliant.
Good design, yes.
Brilliant. Well, it's often the way, isn't it? They're really well designed for where they actually live out their lives. Anything particularly rare you saw, or something that's only turns up once in a blue moon when you've been out doing this sort of sampling?
I always hope, I haven't found one yet, freshwater mussels.
Ah.
They were recorded a long time back on the island. They need a lot of silt to be in, but they are the most incredible things. They sort of died out because they were overfished, basically. Yeah. And they have the most incredible life cycle where when they lay their eggs, the eggs and the larvae go into the gills of fish.
Wow.
So they entice the fish in by waving a little lure out of their shell that looks like a little worm, and they waggle it around, and the fish come into it, investigate, and that's when they release the larvae that go into the gills. Incredible life cycle.
And are the fish damaged by this? Is it sort of parasitic, or how does that work?
They do. They take out the food and obviously in the nutrients, and it's very oxygen rich, obviously being in the gills. It doesn't really, it doesn't kill the fish off at all. But if you're down by streams, the one that I absolutely love. It's a bit grim and a bit grisly, but there's something called a horsehair worm. And it looks like, it's not as thin as a hair, it's like someone's drawn a line. And it's very long, it's very wriggly. A lot of people often find them on the paths next to streams. That whole life cycle is just incredible, because what happens, that worm goes into the streams, mates in the streams, lays its eggs either at the bottom of the stream or on the vegetation round, and then grasshoppers and crickets come and they eat the vegetation and ingest the eggs. The larvae hatch out into the grasshopper, and then what it actually does is it takes over the mind of the grasshopper. This is really freaky. The grasshopper comes to the water and literally drowns itself, and the worm comes out of the body. And unfortunately, the grasshopper dies, but what an amazing life cycle that one is.
Well, you hear these sort of stories, and I know that, and again, you sometimes hear it in the spider world as well, where they lay, and you hear it in the fly world, where species are laid onto another species, and then sometimes, it's a bit like Alien, the movie, some of them, isn't it, where they sort of live inside and then burst out of the body. And you think this actually goes on, you know, in the particularly in the invertebrate and the insect kingdom. And I only think of whoever came up with this is must have had a curious mind.
Yes, exactly. And they are quite prevalent. I mean, people don't need to worry because they can't do any harm at all to us or your pets or anything like that. But yes, wow, so what a story to tell.
Well, yeah. But to say nature is what nature in tooth and claw, as they say, yes, and whether it's macro nature or, you know, micro nature, some of the things that go on is, it's all natural, but yes, you wouldn't want it to meet a scaled up version of that. And so, yeah, just with the mussels you were saying, so there have been records of those, but none in recent years then?
None in recent years, and they're still very, very hopeful. I mean, with the new methods of searching for invertebrates, now they can take water samples, and from that they take DNA, and then they can analyse exactly what's in the water, which is just incredible to think about. So that would be one way of trying to look for them as well. But we have like little pea mussels as well, which are quite rare, that we're all looking for as well, all around the island.
And we should say, actually, people, if anyone's listening to this and thinks, yeah, this sounds fascinating, I wouldn't mind having a go, there is, of course, the invertebrate group, and I'm assuming anyone is welcome to come along, even if they've got no experience, they'd just like to find out more from experts like yourselves and others in the field, get out and find out more about this incredible nature, literally under our feet, which we just don't see.
Yes, it's a very active group. We get out once a month. If it's the winter, obviously, the invertebrates aren't around, so we have more hall base and talks and things. But we're very welcoming. We're a huge, great big range, from people who are experts to people that just want to come along and learn, or are just fascinated just to even watch. And we never put any pressure on anyone. It's always handy to have lots of people out, because they can help us collect invertebrate specimens. But they are so under-recorded on the island that we are just desperate to get information about them.
And how do they find out more? Is that via the Manx Wildlife Trust website?
Yes, if you go on the Manx Wildlife Trust website, it's a bit hidden. You have to go into the volunteer zone, and then how you can get involved, a volunteer zone, and then the invertebrate group will come up. And on that, we've got a little PDF that you can download with all the lists of the dates and everything that we're doing.
Brilliant. Well, listen, we're going to maybe do another little kick sample, but I hope I've whetted your appetite today to get out. And thanks very much to Dawn for giving us her expertise this afternoon. This is just a couple, you know, a few minutes in the river, a couple of samples, and it's just amazing the wildlife that we picked up in no time. Really helpful, obviously, if you've got a Dawn to hand to actually tell you what everything is. You can see it all there. And as Dawn says, I think everyone's got usually a phone in their pocket these days, aren't they? And if you've got a macro on your phone, it is amazing the detail you can see when you see these critters just in the tray in shallow water. You can really pick something out. And who knows? You want to find out more? Get to the Manx Wildlife Trust website there. Look up for the Manx Invertebrate Group and paddle along. You'll be made very welcome. And who knows? You might actually go on to find some of those mussels or something unrecorded on the Isle of Man. It's a great area for doing some research. So get out there as usual and enjoy the wonderful Manx wildlife. And we'll see you in a week's time. Shall I have one more kick?
Go on, let's go for it.
Wild thing.